a thought for today. I like me lymphatically. I like me lymphatically. How about that? I like me lymphatically. What does it mean to like ourselves lymphatically? Sounds like an interesting word. Sounds like a word for lymph, for something concerning the lymph activity of the body, and it is something concerning the lymph activity of the body. To digress a moment before we get into the lymphatic, I share with you ideas, topics, concepts that work. I have a physical body. You probably haven't noticed that, but I have a physical body. And with my physical body, I do many things. With my physical body, I do many special things, and then many ordinary things. But I practice the things that I share with you. And I allow myself to experience things so that I can practice things that I share with you. I allow myself to experience body experiences, relationship experiences, harmony experiences, people experiences, so I can be totally practicing what it is that I teach, what it is that I share. Now, the statement oftentimes comes, well, of course, the teacher can do these things perfectly because the teacher is special. The teacher is different from the rest of us. The teacher has special gifts that the rest of us don't have. And you're right. The teacher does have special gifts the rest of you don't have. The teacher is always something unique and remarkable that you are not. Because the teacher, theoretically, has been there, done that, and proven to themselves that it does function. If a teacher teaches something that the teacher doesn't believe in, the teacher's a fool. If the teacher teaches something the teacher doesn't practice, the teacher is a bigger fool. And if the teacher teaches something that doesn't work, but is merely a happy fiction, the teacher is an idiot. Well, I'm neither a fool nor an idiot. I do practice the things that I share with you, and they do work. And I tell you of many instances where they work. But for me to tell you instances where they work with my body, with my life, is not as interesting to you as to hear instances of where they work with other people. Because you have the concept that your teacher is better than you are. And your teacher is better than you are. Your teacher is superior to you. Your teacher is, you can never hold a candle to the teacher, as long as that's what you think. But the moment you think that, hey, I can do this too. Hey, I can understand these philosophical concepts. I can apply them in my life. I can use them. The moment you do that, then you live it yourself and you demonstrate it yourself. Now, what is it you want to demonstrate? What is it you want to demonstrate in your life? What is it you want to experience? We talked about the zebrafish last night. The zebrafish have a perfect genetic code like man. Now, why would a zebrafish have the same genetic code like man and be a fish, you know, and not have a human body and not have a human brain? Interesting, isn't it? You see, they have an article in the National Geographic also about the dogs, the evolution of a dog. And they say how the early dogs who had to fight for their food and had to go out and hunt and had to capture their food using their brain had bigger brains than the domesticated dogs. The dogs that had to go out and use their head, use their mind, use their brain to accomplish things, had a much greater brain, much larger and much more active. Now, we know through our study of brains that it's not the size of the brain that makes the difference. It's how the brain is used. You and I have a brain which is rather large, and it's rather a useless object in our head. We're only using a small percentage of its capacity. And why carry around a bucket of water if you're only going to drink a glassful? Why carry around a brain that has the capacity to do infinite things if we're only going to do a few finite things? The brain is developed and designed as an ability to do anything, to reach out into infinity, to reach down into finiteness, into the teeny, teeny, weeniest finiteness. And the brain is able to handle all areas in between. Now, the brain allows us to have feelings of lust, feelings of sexual desire for one another. The brain allows us to have a feeling of intellectual acumen, the ability to think, to rationalize. The brain has the ability to allow us to smell, to see, to hear, to feel, to taste, to touch. The brain allows us to do all these things. The brain is our computer that allows us to do that. And as you well know, the computers today are becoming larger and larger and larger and larger and larger in their hard drive, the main drive, the capacity drive. But, as any computer buff will tell you, the size of the hard drive has nothing to do with the speed of the computer. It has nothing to do with the speed of the computer. The speed of the computer, you say, comes from the megahertz, the gigahertz, or whatever it is that's in the drive of the computer. But that's not true either. That's not true either. If the computer is loaded with a bunch of incompatible programs, the computer slows down tremendously. If you load the computer with a billion things which would confuse the computer, it slows it down more. If you have fragmented disks, fragmented programs on your hard drive, this slows you down too. Well, now, these are things that you can understand, perhaps. These are things that mean something to you. It's a physiological function of a physiological object. Something that is physical, something that is material, something that is, so to speak, man-made. Nothing is man-made, but it's something we think is man-made. So therefore, we can manipulate the computer, and we're doing it beautifully. We're spending all of our time looking outwardly to have a better world, and we think the computer is going to assist us in having a better world. Well, the computer assists us in one thing, in one thing alone, in recognizing how fantastic our brain is. Because the computer does not begin to qualify in interpreting what the brain is doing. When someone touches you, what feeling do you have? Do you feel a sensitivity of desire or happiness or joy? Do you feel a sensitivity of caring? Or do you feel a sensitivity of someone pushing a button for you to allow you to be untouched by the touch? When someone says something to you, is it for the purpose of irritating you or making you happy? Now you see, only you can make that decision. And only you do make that decision. Now you might think to yourself, Herb, why did you name this talk lymphatically? I like me lymphatically. You haven't mentioned anything about the lymph at all. And that's true. And for a few more moments, I will not be mentioning anything about the lymph. But just to let you know that I haven't forgotten, I'll mention that I haven't forgotten. The computer that we have developed outwardly is a marvelous indication of what we're doing with our mind. We are exploding our mind into explorations that it has never considered before. We are giving ourselves dimensions of possibilities that we have never given to ourselves before. Never before have we thought we could do mathematics as rapidly as we do them on the computer. Never before did we think that so many possibilities could be on the computer, and then we just press a little button called the search engine and we find out where they are. We find out what they are. We find out who they are. I wanted to know the address of Ross Goodman on the email. And so I punched in Ross Goodman on the email, and up came 25 Ross Goodmans across the world. Well, when it said UK, I recognized that it was in the United Kingdom, and it certainly wasn't in America here. And when I pushed a few other little buttons, I noticed that they too represented other nations and other countries. But you can't always tell, because Yahoo goes everywhere. MNS goes everywhere. Many of these go everywhere, and they're not unique emails to a particular area or culture. But we have the capacity in our brain to go anywhere without any computer. We have the capacity in our brain to call forth information at any moment we want. And we have the capacity in our brain to put information in there any moment we want. Now, I'm getting close to our subject. You have been saying to yourself facetiously, silly, unbelieving, what did I say? I'm sure there's a lot of other remarks I could make on it. When I say to you, I am 25, and you look at me and laugh and say, I know you were born in 1927, what are you saying that you're 25 for? I know that you have gray hair on the top of the head. I know that you are not as agile as you were when you were 25. You don't jump from rock to rock like we do, us younger 25-year-olds. I know you don't do that. Be careful. Be careful. Don't ever judge another person. Take every person by what they tell you they are, and let that be. If a person says he's happy, he's happy. If a person says he's sad, he's sad. Let him be. You can only be you. And you are feeding into your consciousness who you are. And the more you feed into your consciousness who you are, the more your computer system takes on those ideas. Now, when's the last time you defragmented your hard disk? Your inner hard disk. When's the last time you prayed, you treated, and said, I'm whole and perfect. I'm 25 or whatever age you find very desirable. When's the last time, without laughing, when's the last time you saw yourself as a glorious human being? When's the last time you had a hurt and instantly you said, I'm whole and perfect? Not waiting 1 second for that pain to vibrate back and forth between the area that it was and the brain. When's the last time you wrote in your blessing book that I'm wonderful? Her Byron is wonderful. No, when's the last time you wrote in your blessing book that you're wonderful? You! When's the last time you wrote that? I know you didn't. You wrote, oh, I had a wonderful experience. Oh, this was great. Oh, that was great. Oh, these things are truly wonderful. But I'm wonderful of yourself. I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I like me. I like me. I like me. I'm great. You see, this is what we use. And I have 1 minute to go. Not really. I have 15, 16 minutes to go. We have the ability to feed into our computer system the truth that we wish to experience about ourselves or that we do experience. Now, our lymphatic system is our hard drive, believe it or not. It's our hard drive, and it's throughout our entire body. It's not just in the brain. The brain is just a program. But throughout our entire body is our hard drive. And that's our lymphatic system. And throughout our lymphatic system, we say, I'm whole and perfect. We say, I'm glorious. We say, I'm wonderful. We say, I'm God. We say, I like me. But how many times do we say that? Now, it's not a matter of saying it times. Well, then why did you say that? How many times do we say it? Well, just something to say. How many times do you believe it? How many times do you have it in your heart? And the heart is your lymphatic system, your hard drive. How many times do you recognize throughout your hard drive that it's a very fine hard drive? It's the top of the line. And that hard drive improves every day. It improves every day when you say, I like me. That lymphatic system is reaching and receiving information from you every day as to how wonderful you are. How can some people walk on fire and some people not walk on fire? Hey? Some people walk on fire, they've been trained. No, they haven't been trained. They trained themselves. Why don't you? Maybe you have. But why don't you? Because it doesn't interest you right now. If you're with a group of people, and you'd be with a group of people walking on fire because it interested you, if you were with a group of people that interested you to walk on fire, then you would do the thing. You'd have no trouble with it. I mean, because you're as intelligent as the average bear, but you have the capacity to be as intelligent as the infinite that you are. But in your lymphatic system, you have planted over the years that you are 18, 20, 25, 30, 35, 60, 70, 100, 200, 500, 1000 years old. Not bad, huh? From our human point of view. But no, not good at all. Not good at all. Every day we are born new. Every day we are 1 year old, if you will. Every day we have just popped out of the womb, fresh, lovely, receptive to whatever it is. And our body reflects our receptivity. Oh, we may have had parents who had genes and chromosomes that caused certain defects in our body or benefits. We may have had certain diseases in our parents' body or in our environment which took hold of us as we were coming into being. That's our choice. But are we taking charge of our environment and saying, I am whole and perfect? Are we taking charge of our environment and saying, I like me? Are we taking charge? Or do we say, oh, this damn body, why was I born quadriplegic? Why was I born with a brain that, you know, didn't want to operate? Why was I born with a why? Never ask why. If you recognize something about yourself that you would like to see differently, put a cause in motion. You go down, it's as simple as this, perhaps not as easy for you mentally to think of it this way, but it's as simple as this. Stefan came up to me and he says, Herb, I want a new car. I said, go for it. So Stefan, thinking that he's the mightiest, the greatest, the most fantastic person in life, and he goes looking in the newspapers and he looks in the magazines and he says, I like that car. And he goes and buys that car. Well, now that car is not making him happy. That car drives well, it does everything well, but it doesn't give him the luxury he wanted. Oh, it is a stout car, it has four-wheel drive, it has mountain wheels on it, it has terrain capacity to it, it has a high rise underneath so it won't drag on things, and it is great. But Stefan drives back and forth to work every day. He doesn't need to have a mountain car because he goes in the mountains maybe once in a blue moon, and if he chooses to, he can rent one for that. But he realizes it was a foolish thing to buy a mountain car for a city boy. And lots of city boys drive mountain cars because they want to look like mountain boys, which is okay. But Stefan didn't want to do that. Stefan wanted to be a city boy, and Stefan wanted to have a luxurious car that really attracted the girls and was a great car to have. So, okay, so Stefan says, "Damn her, why did I buy that mountain car?" And I say, "What's your problem, Stefan?" "Well, I don't like this mountain car." "Well, what's your problem, Stefan?" "Well, I wish I hadn't bought this mountain car." "Well, what's your problem, Stefan?" Now, all of you know what his problem was, and he does too. "What's your problem, Stefan?" "If you don't like it, go buy a different one." "But I've already spent all this money." "So, life is like that. Turn it in and get a different one." "But I'd lose money." "Well, you're not going to lose any happiness. When you turn it in and get the car you do like and drive the car you do like, you'll be happy." Okay. So my mother and father, oh yeah, it goes back generations, have had these genes and these various activities that were disturbing them. And hemophilia and all these other interesting things. And so I am subject to that. And I'm born. And I say, why should I allow myself to be limited by hemophilia? That means you bleed easily. You know, why should I allow myself to do that? My body is the temple of the living God. I'm going to turn it back in for a new one. How do you do that? Go to the body dealer and pick up a new body and say, I like new, or brain dealer and pick up a new brain. Wouldn't that be interesting? Okay. Well, you have to go where it came from. Now, where did your body come from? Your body came from your thought. Oh, come on now. My body came from my mommy and daddy, and from my grandma and grandpa's, and so on down the line, with all the genes, chromosomes, and other things that came along with it. No, it didn't. There's always a break in the chain. There's always somebody who comes along who is the mulatto. Somebody who comes along who is the albino. Somebody who comes along who is different. And there's nothing in the genes and chromosomes that should, but just one of those little genes and chromosomes got tipsy. And out came a new breed, a new brand, a new lovely expression. Unique. So unique that they didn't like to be different. So they dyed their hair. But that's okay. So, how did that happen? It happened by thought. Now, if this person who is an albino, who is all white, and doesn't want to be white-haired, white-skinned, and all that sort of stuff, he can easily change it. He can see himself as having blonde hair, if you wish, as having beautiful tan skin, Mediterranean tan, if he wishes. Oh, come on, Herb, that's pushing it pretty far. No, if you're going to push it where you want to push it. Go right to the very edge of what you're interested in doing. Because your brain will take any information you give it, and it'll spread those thoughts that you give it throughout your lymphatic system. Your lymphatic system will put it to work in your body and demonstrate it as an outward effect. So when you put in your mind thoughts of the beautiful body you have, the beautiful mind you have, the beautiful circumstances you have, the beautiful life you have, your body exudes those attitudes. You look at one person. That person walks into a room, the whole room just sort of gathers to that person, wants to talk to that person, harmonizes with that person. They may not be beautiful, they may not be rich, they may not be powerful, they may not be famous. But they have charisma. And where does that come from? That comes from their inner self. And that charisma makes them beautiful, makes them glorious, makes them desirable. Makes them very special. And that charisma is developed out of our lymphatic system. You say, how do you know that, Herb? Trust me, I know it. If you want to know all the details of it, that'll be another couple lectures. But right at the moment, just go along with the idea. The lymphatic system is the source of all of our aging, all of our youthfulness, all of our experiences in life, all of our happy, sad, joyous, or whatever experiences they may be. The lymphatic system is that which is responsive to all of those things. That and that alone. Now, it would seem that science would do a lot more research into the lymphatic system, but they're not. They're not researching it because it is so difficult to get a hold of. It's difficult to understand the lymphatic system. It's difficult to know just what it's doing. It just seems to be a electronic fluid system inside of our body everywhere that is doing something, but they really don't have too much of an idea what it's doing. But you know, and I know, they don't know what the hypothalamus is doing. They don't know what the thyroid does. They don't know what the common cold is. How silly. The common cold is our thought. The thyroid is our thought. The hypothalamus is our thought. The brain is our thought. The lymph is our thought. Our body, our world, our experience is our thought. You're 25 years old because it's your thought. People look at you and they say, you don't look like you're 300 years old. And they don't realize you're 800 years old, you know? It's our thought, all our thought. You say, well, Herb, that seems to put a lot of importance on thought. So it does, doesn't it? Hmm? Puts a lot of importance on thought. Now, what is your thought? Just for instance, if you were able to be 100% in charge of your mind, your body, and your affairs, would you consider that a desirable situation? Seems like it would be a good situation, wouldn't it? Well, I'm telling you how to be 100% in charge of your environment, your body, your situation. And though you listen raptly, you don't follow it. You can. You look at me and you judge me. You look at yourself and you judge yourself. You look at life and you judge it. How foolish. Don't judge anything. Call everything good and see everything good. See everything fantastic. And when you see everything fantastic, you're the master. When you see everything marvelous, fulfilling, rewarding, ideal, you're the master. Isn't that worth studying, training yourself in, and working on? And so he says, I've been here 14 years. Okay. 14 years. And in 14 years, is the same Sylvia here that was here that came 14 years ago, or is it a different Sylvia? Is it the same Stefan here? Is it the same Ingeborg here, Anita, Irene, Stefan, or John, or Ellen, or Herb? Is it the same person? No. We don't really see the changes that are taking place in each other, and we don't really see the changes that are taking place in ourselves. But I see the changes that take place in you. And I would bless you that you could see them too. Because if you could see them, you would give them a lot more importance. You would realize calling yourself whatever you wish to call yourself is quite important. Call yourself good and very good. Call yourself perfect. Call yourself what you will. Because that's what you're doing right now. So today, change your thought about yourself. Recognize that you're wonderful. You're fantastic. Feed your lymphatic system with the truth about yourself, that you are your original purity and integrity right now. You are your original purity and integrity right now. You're your archetypal self right now. And then go on from there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you want to run and chase and read and study and learn, and if you want to study every guru on the face of the earth, that's fine. But when you study every guru on the face of the earth, what you're doing is you're studying somebody outside of yourself. Go right inside yourself. That's where the treasure is. That's where the genius is. And if each of you, for 14 years or more, have been studying that which is within you, and you don't like what you have, change it. Just change it by changing your thought, changing your word, changing your realization of who you are. I like me, lymphatically.